As human beings, we are naturally insecure. The reason for that is that we were created for God, and as you know, we fell into sin there in the Garden of Eden. And without God, we cannot measure up to Him. And our backgrounds and different situations can cause there to be more insecurity than others, but that is a reality. And when it comes to those very serious moments in our life, when we are thinking about God and we're thinking about eternity, insecurity can kick in. How can we be confident that we know Him, that we're His child, that we will be with Him forever, that we have a relationship with Him right now? These are very deep and serious questions. In our busy world, oftentimes we don't think about them, but in those quiet moments, or in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, that reality of eternity grips us. Someone asked Charles H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the late 1800s, how he knew he was saved. How could he have confidence? He replied, "Jesus promised that if I would believe in Him, He would save me. I have trusted in Him. A gentleman keeps his word. My Savior is a gentleman." I love that little saying. If I trust in Jesus, He will save me. You know, many people know that to some extent and yet have a lot of insecurity in their life. J. Wilbur Chapman, who became a great preacher that affected several generations ago our country and England, was greatly helped by a well-known evangelist named D.L. Moody. And Wilbur Chapman was in Chicago getting some training, preparing for the ministry. And while he was studying, here's his own account, he said, "I heard that D.L. Moody was going to preach in Chicago, so I went down to hear him. I finally got in to him after the meeting, and I shall never forget the thrill that went through me when he came down and sat beside me." And you understand, Dwight L. Moody was extremely well known at that time. And he came down and sat beside me, an inquirer. He asked me if I was a Christian. I said, "Mr. Moody, I'm not sure whether I'm a Christian or not." He asked whether I was a church member, and I said I was, but was not always sure whether I was a Christian or not. Well, then he very kindly took his Bible and actually opened it up to John chapter 5, verse 24. And there it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Dwight L. Moody said, "Suppose you had read this for the first time, wouldn't you think it's wonderful?" I read it through and said, and he said, "Do you believe it?" I said, "Yes." "Do you accept it?" I said, "Yes." "Well, are you a Christian?" "Mr. Moody, I sometimes think I am, and sometimes I'm afraid I'm not." He said very kindly again, "Read it again." So I read it again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Then he said, "Do you believe it?" I said, "Yes." "Do you receive him?" I said, "Yes." "Well," he said, "are you a Christian?" I just started to say over again, "I was afraid not," when the only time in the years that he knew, and by the way, they became very close friends later on in the ministry. So the only time in the years I knew him and loved him, he was sharp with me. He turned on me with his eyes flashing and said, "See here, whom are you doubting?" Then I saw it for the first time that when I was afraid I was not a Christian, I was doubting God's word. I read it again with my eyes overflowing with tears. Since that day, Wilbur Chapman says, "I have had many sorrows and many joys, but I have never doubted for a moment that I was a Christian because God said it." Now, folks, every person in this room can leave here this morning with absolute confidence that you're a child of God, that you are a Christian, that He has accepted you. There is no need for insecurity with God because He has provided Jesus Christ, God Himself, in your place and in mine, and He took upon Him our sins. He rose from the grave, and the Bible said if we'll just receive what He has given to us, we will pass from condemnation into life. God said it. And if you'll believe it, you will have it. Well, as we go to the scripture now in 1 John chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me, 1 John chapter 3, we're going to continue on our series. And I'm going to be exploring here in this passage the matter of having confidence. Did you know there are two categories of people that struggle with confidence about whether or not they are a Christian, a child of God? Those who really aren't and need to be struggling with it. But what's so fortunate is so many who are and still struggle, maybe not with confidence about eternity, but confidence in their relationship with God. And it makes all the difference. That is actually the main thrust of this paragraph that we're going to be looking at. Quick review here. The book of 1 John, written at the end of the first century by the last living apostle, the apostle John, the disciple that Jesus loved. He was just a young man when he was with Christ here on, when Christ was here on this earth. And he, under inspiration, writes this epistle to again remind all of the different churches, Jesus is alive. I knew him then, I know him now. The Spirit of God indwells me, and I have fellowship with him. The one that I knew personally, I know even more personally now. And you can have fellowship with him, and you can have fellowship with me and others that know him. And that wonderful privilege of the assembly of God's people together as we fellowship with the Lord. And he revels in that in chapter 1. And as you go through this, you realize here that what he is dealing with is that we need to be living in an abiding relationship, a personal relationship, a dynamic relationship with the resurrected Savior who's on the throne. The Spirit of God is in our heart if we're saved. This needs to be real. It needs to be dominating our life. It needs to be undergirding everything that we are and everything that we have. But you know, for many Christians, that's not true. They can be genuinely saved, but it goes back to just a set of beliefs for a while if they're not walking with God. And that's really the point in chapter 3. As we've seen, it starts with marveling that we could be called the sons of God. And knowing we're going to be glorified like him, we ought to be purifying ourselves by the power of God in our lives. And then it goes on to say, he came to take away sin, and it is absolutely a tragedy for Christians who have been saved from sin for eternity and who have the indwelling Spirit of God to save them from sin practically, still sin willfully. See, that's a tragedy, because that's our great inheritance, to be transformed by the grace of God. And then it goes on to talk about the fact that sin deals with self. And believers need to understand that when we are in the flesh, we can have the same kind of heart that Satan promotes in the world at large. We can fall in the trap of hating our brother, of not loving one another, filled with self, filled with our own problems, not being sacrificial and selfless. And that's totally the opposite of what a believer is to be. The world reacts to believers because it indicts them, what they believe, and their lives indict their lifestyle. And oftentimes there's opposition to Bible Christianity, but it ought not be so between believers themselves who are of kindred spirit. And so it's really getting down to this fact that the evidence that believers are really in a confident relationship with God because they're right with God is the fact that they're going to have a genuine selfless love for one another. That's why our family's got to be the right kind of family. That's why our relationship in churches. That's why we ought to be a testimony with our neighbors. I mean, the one person that ought to be the opposite of what we see all over the world today is a Bible-believing Christian. So that's really the context here. And it gets down now to the issue of having confidence with God. Because if we allow our fleshly nature to dominate instead of allowing the great privilege of the Spirit of God dominating in our life, we are then going to be disjointed in this wonderful privilege of knowing Jesus, of walking with him, having him meet our needs, having him lead us and guide us and see God work in a mighty way. And so keeping that in mind, let's go to verse 18. of chapter 3, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. We need to be, as believers, loving one another in reality, not just talk about it. It needs to be consuming our life. And then we see point number one, we will gain confidence in the truth, verses 19 and 20. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, believers, that very term, what does that denote? We believe something. What do we believe? We believe the truth. Where do we get the truth? In the Word of God. This is the truth, the Bible. And so therefore, a believer, his whole perspective on life comes from knowing the truth that God has given to us from his heart, inspired in the Word of God. And so a believer knows not only the gospel, Jesus saves us through his shed blood, but he also understands that life is not about ourselves and that we are not to be living self-driven and passion-driven, but God can conquer that. He conquered our eternal destruction, and he'll also conquer our present selfishness if we'll let him do so. And so we see here, when we are seeing victory and we are trusting the truth and it's being lived out in our lives, there is a deep confidence that comes in us. See, a Christian that's having victory, they're not doubting their salvation. Now, does the victory they see necessarily be the assurance aspect? No, that's not the point. Where does our assurance come from? The Word of God. Started off with that. But in our everyday relationship with God, we have great confidence with the Lord because we're seeing him do miracles in transforming our life. This, remember, is in the context of not being self-centered, but being other-centered. The story told of a king who pardoned two criminals. They were both destined to die. And this was a shock to both of them. They had no idea that they were going to be pardoned. They could both go free. They were told that they could leave the prison. The reactions, though, were totally different. The one criminal fully understood it, was extremely excited, thought about what the king had done for him. He was full of joy and exuberance, and he shouted, "What joy to know I was on my way to death, and I've been given life, and it's not because of anything that I did." Well, the other criminal was trembling, and all he could think about, this couldn't be true, this is a joke, I am so bad. They'd done equal things. And so his focus was on himself, and he was miserable. He couldn't get a hold of the fact that he had been pardoned. I think you can see how this illustrates us. Some believers here this morning just can't get over the fact that they're saved. Man, God saved me. He's forgiven me of my sins. I'm on my way to heaven. It's a wonderful thing. But you know, the other believers are looking at themselves, miserable, and doubting, when they are just as equally pardoned. You see, you get all clobbered up when you look at yourself. Listen, our only hope for any part of our life is to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Your eyes have to be on him and the truth about him. And so this is what we're talking about here in verse 19. We know that we're of the truth. We understand the truth. We were saved based upon the truth. We're seeing the truth lived out. It's a miracle. I'm a different person. God has worked, and I am thrilled about what God is doing. But I'm telling you, when you live a defeated life and your eyes are on yourself, you get discouraged about what God can do, and sometimes you'll get discouraged about your salvation. You know, I've known many, many genuine believers who are so crippled because all they can think about is how insecure they are about their relationship with God. And here's the thing I want us to see, and this is the big point of the last few minutes. The last part of the verse says, verse 19, and shall assure our hearts. The word to assure means to pacify, set at rest our hearts before him. You see, when we that have believed in God and believe the truth for salvation, believe him for the rest of our lives, and our hearts are open to him and we are abiding in him, our hearts are pacified by the power of God and we have the peace of God in our life. Our conscience is right. But when we're self-focused, folks, we're miserable. In the 1890s, a man drove by the farm of Mrs. John R. McDonald. A sudden gush of wind caught his very expensive black derby hat and whirled it onto the McDonald property. He looked all over and could not find it. Mrs. McDonald retrieved the hat, and for 45 years it was worn by various members of the family until it wore out. At the end of those years, Mrs. McDonald finally went out and advertised for the owner of the hat. She said it had made her miserable for 45 years. I give that extreme example, but folks, there are believers here justified by the grace of God. You're co-heirs with Christ. You've got the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to give you victory over sin and to make your life rich and meaningful. And yet, you feel weak and powerless. You even doubt your relationship with God. You're insecure with God. Why? Unconfessed sin, guilt, a bad conscience. You can run from the conscience. You can deaden the conscience to some extent, but inside you're dead. Even someone who's been made alive. That's the point here. And so it all gets down to our loving ourselves more than others. It's been said by an early church father, a good conscience is the palace of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the paradise of delight, the standing Sabbath of the saints. It's a wonderful thing. And if you look at verse 20, I love this. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. See, the thing about it is, folks, if we know we're sincere, we know we put our faith in Christ, and we know we've dealt with whatever sin has been in our lives, if we confess our sins, chapter 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if we're a little insecure, God knows the reality of our relationship with him, and he will enable us to be free in our relationship with him. And it's a wonderful thing. And folks, let me just say this. When you're right with God, God will give you confidence. And faith and conscience go together. In Timothy chapter 1, holding faith in a good conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 3, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. If you want to grow in the things of God and have faith in what the Word of God says and grow in your confidence and your relationship with God, it is vital that you keep your conscience pure and get things right the minute you realize they are contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit convicts you. You can find forgiveness the moment you call upon Him. But I'm telling you, it's not worth it. That thing you did that you don't want to tell your parents, teens. That thing you did, husband, wife, and you don't want to tell your spouse, or you don't want to admit it to your family or get right with another person. That thing you did on the job that might even cost you your job if you were honest about it. Friend, it isn't worth it. The hounds of heaven will be after you for your sake. It's deadening you. It's keeping you from confidence. And I wouldn't doubt if you keep holding on to that, you don't even doubt whether you're a child of God. And that's a tragic thing, because you are, if you truly are saved. So we're dealing here with the confidence that comes from the truth. The truth understood, stood upon, and seen in action. And now let's look at verse 21, so that we can have an actual confidence in our God. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not. Now note that. Now let me say it again. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not. In other words, we're not guilty. We are free with the Lord. We understand what he has done for us. The truth is alive. Then we have confidence toward God. My friend, I want to tell you, when you are right with God and do not have guilt, and you know you're standing upon the truth, you have the right to go boldly to the throne of grace, as Hebrews chapter 4 says. Friend, it isn't based on my worth, but I'm telling you, I was at the throne of God this morning about this message and about this service, and God heard me because of what Jesus Christ did for me. And I can confidently tell you that, not because of who I am or not because of any worth of me, but the worth of Jesus Christ and what the Word of God says. And I'm telling you, when you are right with God, there is no greater joy in all the world to be able to look up into the heart of God and have confidence before Him. It's a blessed, blessed thing. I remember as a child, I knew my parents loved me. I knew I had the right to ask them things. I knew I had a very good standing with them. They were wonderful parents. But when I was guilty, I just didn't have as much confidence with them. Now, it wasn't because they were mistreating me. It wasn't because they were being any more stern that day. But man, that old conscience was going, wah, 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 you know, and I knew I would have to get that right. And I knew my mother could see through me. That was just terrible. I mean, she could see right. She had x-ray vision, you know, and she may not know exactly what it was, but she could see that guilt monitor going off, you know. And so I was miserable. I didn't really want to see my parents. I didn't really want to stand before them until I did what? Get that right. Now, all of a sudden, I was as bold as can be. I was their child. That's exactly the same way it is with the Lord. We can have, just think of that. You can have confidence today with God. God loves you. He's making intercession for you. He died for you. He loves you. But the only thing that's pulling you back is your own conscience. And not trusting in what the Lord says. We can have an intimate face-to-face relationship with Him. But then I want you to notice in verse 22, and this is so important, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. When we are confident with Him, we can have the blessing of knowing that God will answer our prayer. You see, if you are not feeling confident with God and you're insecure with Him, or if you're not saved and don't have a relationship with Him, you're not going to go confidently to the Lord and believe that the prayer promises in God's Word are true. I want to let you in a little secret. Every prayer promise is true and applies to every believer. But you won't really believe it if you are struggling with self. You're not loving. You've got bitterness. You've got hate. It's all about your own desires, your own priorities. Oh, you know the Lord and you love Him, but you're not walking with God as you should. And then you come to a time when you need to get a hold of God in prayer and you don't feel like you have the standing. That's why it's important. Verse 21, that you have confidence toward God when your heart doesn't condemn you. Verse 22, then whatsoever we ask, we receive it. My friend, just like a good father will give to his child anything that's appropriate to ask, so our Heavenly Father will meet every need that we have. But we have got to be in a place that we have confidence toward God. An evangelist was preaching on the home in a church. After the meeting, a father approached him. He said, I've been praying for my wayward son for years, and God has not answered my prayers. The evangelist read Psalm 66:10. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then he looked at the man and said, be honest with yourself now. And I want you to be honest with the Lord. Is there anything between you and another Christian that needs to be settled? The man's face went white. He hesitated and said, yes, I'm afraid there is. I've harbored resentment in my heart against another man in this church. Then go make it right, counseled the evangelist, and then they had a good time of prayer. He got it right. And before that week was over, that son had come back to the Lord. See, so often, it's never God's problem, folks. We don't pray in faith. We don't pray in confidence. We don't pray the heart of God when we have unsettled things in our heart, when we don't have confidence with God. See, this is the whole point. A Christian should be living in confidence. That's why it is such a terrible, it's an anomaly, it's a terrible thing when a Christian lets sin come into the life or lets hatred come into the life, lets bitterness stay there. See, that's what we are delivered from. And a Christian who is living out their salvation, living in victory, has an immediate entrance to the throne and God will answer prayer. He said so. But so many Christians feel very distant from God and feel very insecure from God because things are not right in their life. And so there needs to be that love that is shown to the Lord by doing what He says and wanting to please Him. A wife was so thrilled when her 10-year-old daughter, they were eating breakfast together, and the wife was called out emergency with a neighbor, and so she asked her to clean up the dishes and just do that. That's the last thing she said. And her daughter really loved her mother, and so she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just, while she's gone, I'm going to fix everything up. So she not only washed the dishes, she cleaned the kitchen, she vacuumed the house, and by the time the mom came back, the house was sparkling. Now, did the little girl have to do that? No, what did she want to do? She wanted to please the mother that she loved. Do you think they had a pretty good relationship after that? Yeah, everything was because she went up and beyond. See, folks, as believers, we do not obey his commandments because we want to earn something. He's our Savior. We want to please him. You remember we looked at that earlier in this epistle? Remember the Lord Jesus in the upper room discourse said, if you love me, you'll listen to what I've said. You'll keep my commandments. And so what we find here is that when we have confidence, when our life, because we're trusting the truth and we're letting God work and there's nothing between us and the Savior, we can be so confident that our heart just overwhelms with love for him that instead of love for ourselves. And it's amazing what God will enable us to do for him. Now let me just read these last couple of verses. And notice the progression here, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God. That's how you're saved, and that's how you grow. The name of the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. And then what comes out of that? And love one another as he gave us his commandment. You remember he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And there you have the heart of God. And verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments or his sayings dwelleth in him, abideth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. How? By the Spirit which he hath given us. My friends, confidence. Confidence with God comes when we're truly saved and then we're right with God. And this last verse says, when our hearts are open and we follow what he wants, we are yielding to him, the mighty Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, what does he do? He enables us to have that confidence. He gives us that reality. He gives us that peace. He gives us that security. Love, joy, peace, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, my friend, let me ask you a couple of questions here. Is the problem about your confidence with God because you're depending upon yourself to get into a relationship with God? For by grace are you saved through faith. That's faith in God's word. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see the difference? We focus on self, we're in trouble. We focus on God and what he did for us based upon his truth. That's where the answer is. So there are some here, I'm sure, as we have in every service, who if you honestly were to talk to me one-on-one, you'd have to say, Pastor, I've never truly settled it about truly trusting in the finished work of Christ. If I were to die, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I've been looking to try to be as religious as I can, be part of a church and do works. My friend, that's not how you get confidence with God. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. That's what we've been singing about all morning. So you've got to put your faith in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. Have you done that? If you haven't, that's why you're insecure. And it's a good thing you are insecure. God wants you to become his child. He wants you to become his child right now. This is important. This is eternity. This is what the whole heartbeat of the scripture, the whole message of the scripture is how much Jesus loves you. So you got to believe it. And then even the minute you believe it, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Within the context of this chapter, Christian, how confident are you with God? How bold are you in your prayers? How much freedom do you have? Do you find yourself even doubting? You know you trusted Christ. God's word is true. That's what you base your salvation on, not feelings, not even what you do after you're saved, even though that will encourage you. That's not the basis. It's what God said. And if you're struggling with that, I tell you what the problem is. You don't have a good conscience toward God. You're not seeing God answer your prayer. You're insecure. Your insecurities are kicking in because you're looking at yourself. And though you've been pardoned, you're not enjoying it. Is that sin really worth it? Is that bitterness really worth it? Is that thing you're doing really worth it? Don't you think it'd be wonderful to be confident with God today? Oh, God wants every one of us to know He's our Father. He wants us to know it now. It's real, my friends. A little boy was flying a kite, and a man comes along and said, "What you doing holding on that string?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." The man looked up, "I can't see your kite." He said, "Doesn't matter whether you see it or not, there's a tug on this string, and I know it's up there." It doesn't matter whether we can see it or not. God said it, but it is wonderful when we're soul walking with God, there's the tug to heaven. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord here this morning. Gone through a number of verses pretty quickly, but I'm really burdened, folks, that you, all of us, leave here confident with the Lord. Now, please, let's let God work in your heart for just a moment here. Let's put other things aside in our minds, and let's just let the Spirit of God work. Let me ask you first, if you were to die today, do you know that you're a child of God because you have trusted in Him? There was a time when you accepted Him, and you know you were saved, you know you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. It's a reality. You are on your way to heaven. You have no doubt about it. If you can honestly say that with heads bowed, please, no one looking. We're not going to embarrass anyone or point anyone out here, but you can say, "Yes, Pastor, I am a believer, and I'm thankful to give this testimony." Would you just slip your hand up for a moment, then put it back down? All right. So you put your hands down. How you doing in your confidence with God? Those of you that raise the hand. How bold are your prayers? Or do you find yourself even doubting and wondering if God loves you, and why do things happen to you, and so easy? Where you just know you got guilt. You're just not in that solid relationship with the Lord. You're not enjoying Him. That's one of the reasons we struggle with devotions, is that our hearts are not open to Him. We're not longing to meet with Him, because every time we meet with Him, it's very clear in our heart that there are needs. And we don't want to get that settled necessarily. But you say this morning, "Pastor, as a believer, I realize I need to have an assurance in my heart. I need to live confidently. I need to live boldly. I need to realize God died for me, and He wants me to have an absolute oneness with Him. I don't need to miss out on anything that He has for me, and I want to get over this insecurity with God. He's my Father. And I need to live that way, and God's touched my heart, and I'm willing to deal with whatever has to be dealt with in my life, but I want to have that confident relationship. Would you pray for me?" Would you just slip your hand up as eyes are still closed? Just slip it up if God's working in your heart. That's my burden. Yes, God bless you. Many hands. Anyone else? "I'm not really right where I need to be." Yes, God bless you. "And I realize I'm insecure. I sometimes doubt. I get frustrated, or I'm really discouraged with myself, and I realize I don't need to be that way. God has done a great work, and I need to just embrace it all. Would you pray for me?" Would you just slip your hand up and join these others if God's working in your heart? God bless you. It's wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Now, some of you were uncertain about raising your hand about salvation. Oh, friend, you'll never have confidence with God until you know your standing with Him is based upon what Jesus Christ did for you. If you're trusting at all, anything you've done, or anything, any ritual that you have been a part of, or any membership you may have, then you're not going to get confidence. It's totally in Jesus Christ. You look to Him. He is the one that saves you. And if you will realize you can't get to heaven on your own, that all of us just deserve judgment, and that you believe that He died for you, and that's what you know you need, and you want to have that confident relationship here today, with head still bowed, would you just slip your hand up and let us pray for you also here? Yes, God bless you, sir. Anyone else here? "God's working in my heart. I need to get it settled. I want to know I am a child of God. I don't want to leave that to chance. Please pray for me." Anyone else? Just hold it up. We're not going to point you out. We just want to pray for you. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Thankful for these that have raised their hands. Friend, is God working in your heart? Oh, to know Him as your Savior. It's the greatest blessing to know you are a child of God. Now, Lord, you've seen these many hands. You know the needs here this morning. And, Lord, we want to leave here with true victories in lives. Your word is so clear. And I pray that you will give strength and courage to make the decisions that ought to be made for these many Christians that are burdened about having the right kind of relationship. May they have boldness to come and just settle that before you this morning And for those here that indicated they're not certain about their salvation, may this be the morning that they come to you and realize it's all of what you've done, not themselves, and that you'll accept them as they are because of the blood of Christ, and help them to leave here just totally at peace with you, I pray. So Lord, work mightily now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.